It's Christmas time. I thought to myself, we still need to pray. I don't listen to WGTS a lot. I told my wife I might mention it. And I thought, no, I won't mention it, but I'll go ahead and mention it. I don't listen to WGTS a lot, but I was coming home the other day and didn't want to hear anything else. So I turned on and they said, we have the five people called in and said what their five favorite Christmas carols were. And so I was ready to hear, and I thought to myself, nah, y'all must have got this from some other place. Anyhow, and so I was ready to hear the five favorite Christmas carols, and not a one. I was like, wait a second. I tapped the radio, click, click, click. Is this WGTS? I'm like, it said, I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. I thought, not people in Hawaii. Not people in San Diego. They ain't never seen white Christmas. Anyhow, Frosty the Snowman. I thought to myself, hold on, y'all. Come on, wait. I was waiting down to the fifth one. I said, maybe the fifth one they'll get it. And it was not one. I said, oh, we need to pray, y'all. We need to pray. Amen. Not everyone who calls himself a Christian is a Christian. Now, I'm not going to judge, right? God knows the hearts. But, amen. The fruit don't fall far from the tree. I mean, it's got to be right there. Hello. And so I titled this message today, Christmas Every Day. You ever thought that that a pastor, depending on how long he ministers, got to come up with, you know, depending on you minister 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, you got to come up with a different Christmas message. Christmas ain't changed, but you got to come up with a different message. You ever thought about that? So I come to the scriptures and I'm always excited about Christmas. And what I realize is this, there's more in there than you could ever preach or teach in one lifetime. If you just take your time. Mm-hmm. If you just take your time. And so I titled today's message, Christmas Every Day. Because you know what I think about Christmas. It's an everyday thing. Hello. What's Christmas about? The birth of Jesus Christ. That's what Christmas is about. Okay? Now, Paul said to the Galatians, he said this in Galatians chapter 3. He says, oh, you Galatians of whom I travail in pain again until Christ be birthed in you. He was talking about the Galatians who were being tempted and drawn away from the true gospel to legalism. And he says, I'm travailing in prayer again so that Christ would be birthed in you. In other words, the birthing of Christ is a one-time event, but it's also an ongoing process. And it must be taking place in my heart and in your heart on a daily basis. Ha! Woo! Oh, glory. I'm getting happy now because, you see, when you break that down, it comes to this. If Christ is being born in you and birthed in you every day, you cannot remain where you are today. Oh, no, you won't. You coming up out of that. I don't care where you're at, what you're doing. But if Christ is being formed in you, you're going to be changed. That's all our testimony, is that we're not today where we were 20 years ago. And I'm not going to be here today where 5 years from now, because Christ is being formed in my heart and in your heart. Amen. And so I love the Christmas story. I love everything about it. It's just because the more I look at it, you know, there's angelic appearances all throughout the Bible. But none like that which surrounded the birth of Jesus. Just angels just everywhere. You have, you know, Gabriel being sent here, there, and all these things are going on. And I love the activity in the realm of the spirit. And so I wanted to go back to Luke chapter 1. And I'll be here for a couple more weeks digging through the scriptures. But I want to start with one character that we love so much, at least I think is hilarious, is Zacharias. Good old Zacharias. So I wanted to start in Luke chapter 1, verse 5, and look at how the scripture, the Christmas scriptures, if you will, apply to us every day. Because you have to remember, to Zacharias and Elizabeth, it was a normal, average day. To us, oh, it's the Christmas scene. It's the Christmas story. To them, they just got up like every other day, put on their clothes, went to work, did what they do, and all of a sudden, they found themselves right in the middle of what God was doing. Unbeknownst to them until the angel showed up. They were part of God's plan. Well, guess what is happening today? When you and I get up, we get up and go to work. Ain't paying attention to anything until all of a sudden, wham, it hits. And you realize, oh my goodness, God's working now. God's in the midst of this scene. And then I need to, at that point, when we realize that, something needs to change, and it ain't God. Something needs to change, and we're the ones who need to change. That's the whole point of the story of Zacharias. Zacharias was like, I don't believe this. Wham! Moral of the story, when you find yourself in the midst of God's plan and you hear God's word, agree with God. Get in the flow of what he's doing. Otherwise, guess what? Not shut. You gonna be shut up if you don't. Oh, he gonna shut you up. Hello. All right. Let's pray and close. That's the moral of the story. Did you get it? Okay. No, that's the Cliff Notes version. Verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. So here's the setting. Just like it would be describing a setting of, you know, someone living in Chantilly, Herndon, or, you know, Centerville, or wherever, Sterling, Loudoun County. And it was at the time when Trump was president and governor, he escapes me now, what's his face, was governor. And, you know, they were going and lay out the, you know, to tell you where in the time it was. That's what's happening here. It's no deep thing. It's just he's just describing the time and who was where and who was doing what. What we notice is that this was a righteous couple, walking before God and all the commandments of the Lord, the scripture says, and they were blameless. What's interesting to note is that walking with God and being righteous and blameless does not cause one to be free of hardship or disappointment. Amen. Even those who walk with God in righteousness and truth and justice will experience hardship, will experience disappointment. Why? Ecclesiastes 9:2 says this: all things come alike to all. All things come alike to all. Isn't God wise in his administration of this life? Listen, if good things only happen to the Christians, guess what? Everybody would be running to become a Christian. Why? Well, because not because God's good, not because God's righteous, not because he's holy, not because he drew, because I want the good things. Come on now. Matter of fact, you know, that's going on today. It's called the prosperity gospel. Let me leave that alone. Get back to the Christmas message. Hey, okay. But no, all things come alike to all. One event happens to the righteous and to the wicked. Is that what the scripture says? You better know is what the scripture says. It says to the good, to the clean, and to the unclean. To him who sacrifices and him who does not sacrifice, as is the good, so is the sinner. He who takes an oath as he who fears an oath. And so Elizabeth was barren through no fault of her own, but she was barren. Barrenness was considered a curse in Israel. Why? Because God had promised fruitfulness. So barrenness was a curse. But Deuteronomy 23:5, you'll remember that the scripture says concerning Israel, in Deuteronomy 23:5, Moses is reminding Israel, what God did for them. He says, nevertheless, the Lord your God will not listen to Balaam, but the Lord your God turned the curse into a blessing for you. He turned the curse into a blessing. Remember Balak? Balak called Balaam to curse Israel. And when Balaam went to curse Israel, God told him, no, you cannot curse them because I've blessed them. And then Balaam told Balak, I can't curse this people. God said they're blessed. And what he does, I cannot reverse it. I can't reverse it. So in our lives, you may have be experiencing not just physical barrenness, but barrenness in any part of your life. God is the one who turns, he can turn it, right? And in this, now listen, there were many barren couples in Israel when, in this time of the scripture, there were many barren couples, but this one found themselves right in the middle of the plan and purpose of God. And so, but never mind just the barrenness. They're old. Zacharias is old. Elizabeth is old. Well, goes on. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God, in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people was outside praying. Was praying outside at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right hand of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. And so here we have, starting in verse 8, Zacharias was simply where he was supposed to be, doing what he was supposed to do. Where was he? He was a priest, which means he was a descendant of Aaron. And the priest's charge was to keep the tabernacle and keep all the ordinances of the Lord. And one of the ordinances was that you were to burn incense to the Lord daily. And they had all of these priests who would come by month. You would go and spend a month ministering in the tabernacle. Then you would go home and another tribe's priest would come, or another set of priests would come, sons of Aaron, and they would take care of the tabernacle. Well, it was at this particular time that the lot fell upon Zacharias, which is interesting, for him to burn the incense. Now, the altar of incense, if you remember, when you come into the tabernacle, there was the altar of burnt offering, then the laver, then you had the table of showbread, you had the lampstand, and then approaching the holiest of all, the holy place, the most holy place, you have the altar of incense. And it was right before you went in to see the last piece, which none of the sons, only one son of Aaron got to see that, the high priest, once a year, got to go in there. Not without fear and trepidation, and definitely not without blood, okay? So Zacharias is in the tabernacle, and he's burning incense unto the Lord. And while he's burning incense, which rises to the Lord, an angel comes down. Now, what does incense refer to in the scriptures? Prayers. Okay? Prayers. And so, I don't know if you ever heard, I've mentioned this before, but I've never really felt this, but I've heard people say it before, I felt like when I was praying, my prayers didn't pass the ceiling. And I was like, you did? Because the scripture says our prayers are like incense, which go up. They go up. So thank God for the word of God. Amen. So you don't live your life by feeling. I felt like my prayers didn't go. I don't care what it felt like. I care what the word of God says. What the word of God says about my prayers. Hello. Serving God is not about feeling. Serving God is about faith. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. Did he say it? Did he tell me to do it? Then I'm going to do it. Okay. So it was his turn to burn incense. Exodus 30:7 says this, when God was commanding Moses concerning incense, he says, Aaron shall burn on it, speaking of the altar of incense, on it sweet incense every morning. Every morning. When he tends the lamps, he shall burn incense on it. Now, If burning incense every morning speaks to prayers, What should we do every day? Now, having said that, let me say this, no condemnation. Because who prays every day? Who prays every day according to, I have my prayer closet set aside, I get down on my knees, and I spend 30 minutes to an hour seeking the Lord, and I'm holier than you because I pray. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about that. Who prays every day? Every hand should go up. Every hand should go up. Yeah. Oh, you pray. Oh, yeah. As I said, I've been saying the last few weeks. Listen, life is designed, listen, to bring prayer out of you. Oh, you gonna pray. You gonna pray. You may not think it's the type of prayer, but help Jesus. Come on. When life, listen, every utterance of your heart when you're talking to the Lord, that's communal prayer. That's constant prayer. I've watched God do things all my life where my heart would utter, just my heart would just utter something. And here comes, chiefly what happened when I'm cleaning carpet and I was thirsty or whatever. And the thought crossed my mind. And I said, Lord, was that me or was that you? Because how can, I'm literally downstairs in the basement slaving over this big piece of upholstery and the thought crossed my mind, a drink would be nice. And I can't tell you how many times, here come the woman, as the thought crossed my mind, she turned the corner, I thought you might like something to drink. I am not paying attention to her. I'm sitting there looking at heaven. I said, Father, I know you heard that. There's no way, because that has happened so many times. I can't tell you how many times. And it happened with the owner of the business I was working for when a woman brought me a drink and didn't bring him anything. She said, I thought you might like a drink. And Rick said later, he said, how does she bring you something and didn't bring me anything? I said, I don't know what's up with that, bro. All I know, is it sure was good. Hey, I'm telling you. And so our prayers, God hears our prayers, and we pray is something that we do on a daily basis. The burning of incense was a daily occurrence ordained by God. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 6? Not if you pray, but when you pray. Huh? When you pray, say, our Father, give us this day our daily bread. Well, that was a daily asking. That was a daily asking. And so here, this occurrence that happened on a daily basis before God, it happened daily before God, but for Zacharias, it was a special occasion because through the rotation of priests, his rotation wasn't to offer incense every day. You understand? Every time he was in the temple, he would have been in the temple 1 month out of a year. And in that month, you would have done the lampstand. You would have done different things. You understand? And there were many priests who served. So it wasn't a given that he would just be there offering incense. Well, now incense, let me say again, is important. I want to just hunker down on incense for a bit. And I may not finish this today. We may have to finish it next week. But I want to look at incense a little bit more closely because when you understand this offering about the incense, then it makes perfect sense what happened to Zacharias later. In Exodus 30 and 34, it reads, and the Lord said to Moses, take sweet spices, stache and oncha and galbanum and pure frankincense with these sweet spices. There shall be equal amounts of each. You shall make of these an incense, a compound, according to the art of the perfumer, salted, pure, and holy. Salted, pure, and holy. This is what these spices is what composed or made up the incense. It was sweet, but it was also characterized as salted, preserving. It was to be pure, and it was to be holy. And as we think about prayer, when you think about prayer coming before the Lord, those words are to characterize our prayer. Salted, pure, and holy. Jesus said, if you ask anything of my Father in heaven, it'll be done of him. You say, well, what type of prayers is he going to answer? Salted, pure, and holy. Amen. Just like we see here in the Old Testament. And you shall beat some of it very fine, but and put some of it before the testimony in the tabernacle of meeting where I will meet with you. God said in the tabernacle of meeting, the place in front of the holy place, he said, that's where you're going to put the altar of incense. That place I'm going to meet with you. Where does God meet with us? In prayer. In prayer. By and through prayer. And oftentimes, you can be spending time in prayer, get up and leave your prayer time, and hear nothing in prayer, but get up and leave your prayer time, and while you're going about your day, here come the answer. You ever had that happen? You're not even in prayer now, but hear the answer. Why? Because God understands you have a live a life. You can't spend your whole day in prayer, right? Not that type of closeted prayer. And it shall be most holy to you. But as for the incense which you shall not make any for yourselves according to its composition. And so that is supposed to characterize our prayer. Now listen. When you look at incense in the Old Testament, there were a number of people who got in trouble because of dealing with incense. You say, now I'm taking, remember what our focus is. Zechariah is offering incense unto God in the temple. Christmas story. But I want to jump into the Old Testament and look at some of the stories which you will be reminded of concerning incense, that it was no small to do. It was no small deal what he was doing in the temple. So you will remember these named Korah, Dathan, Abiram. Korah, now he was a son of a priest or Levite, but Dathan and Abiram, they weren't even Levites. I think they were the sons of Reuben or some other tribe. And these old boys went and decided they're going to take a censer, and they put incense in it. And the Bible says that they offered what was called strange fire unto the Lord. And because these men said, hey, Moses, Aaron, you take too much on yourselves. Man, you're not the special people. We can do this too. God said, oh, is that right? He said, okay. Come on out here, you boys. Moses said, y'all come on out here and everybody get a censer. And he gave them all censers. And so they all stood there with their censer, and Moses told the people, God told the people, back away from them. Get away from them. I'd have been done, man. I've been running. Back up. You said, look here. He said, back up. And God says, Moses said, if these men die of a natural death like other men, he says, you know, then God's not upset. But if the earth, if God does a special thing and opens up the earth and swallows them up whole, then God has rejected them. And sure enough, soon as Moses said it, the earth opened up and swallowed these men. Right? Now, that's some hot, heavy stuff. But the next day, let me keep to my notes now. It says, so it says, those judged for burning incense were Korah, Dathan, Abiram, On. Remember Jeroboam. You might remember Jeroboam. He was the first king of Israel when the 10 tribes separated from the tribes of Judah, right? And he made idols for the children of Israel to worship. He stood by the incense altar when a prophet was prophesying against him. He stretched out his arm and said, arrest that man. And when he stretched out his arm, he was standing at God's altar of incense when he did this. He was trying to burn incense. This king, who's not a priest, you can't do that. I don't care who you are. You can't do that. He said, arrest that man. And when he said, arrest that man, his arm drew up, shriveled up. He had this nub. And then he said to the man of God, oh, please pray to the Lord that he would restore my arm. And the prophet prayed and his arm shot back out again. Okay. Now that was one king. But then there was another king. King Uzziah, that's the Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord's eye lifted up. That king. when he was mighty and God gave him much favor and strength and land and money and all this, he got big headed and he thought, well, I'm going into the temple. I'm a king. I'm going to offer incense to God. And so Uzziah, he goes up into the temple and he gets his censer and he puts incense on it. He's getting ready to light it. And the priest comes into the temple and says, King Uzziah, you have offended God. He's not chosen you to offer incense. He says, get away from me. I'm going to offer incense. They said, the hand of the Lord is upon you. And right there in the temple, leprosy broke out in his forehead. His whole forehead turned white with leprosy. Then he dropped the censer and ran out of the temple. And he died a leper. He was judged by God. For what? For trying to offer incense. Listen, church, offering incense was a big deal in the Old Testament. Why? Because it was ordained by God. And because it was exclusive. God gave it to the priests of Israel. Not to the Levites. The priests, sons of Aaron. Okay? Aaron was a Levite. That was his tribe. But Aaron himself, you had to be a son, a descendant of Levi, in order to offer this. Well, not only that, but Israel was judged for burning incense to other gods. That was one of the sins that they committed that brought judgment on them. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 1:16, the Lord speaking, I will utter my judgments against them concerning all their wickedness, because they have forsaken me, burned incense to other gods, and worshiped the works of their own hands. So it was you had to be chosen by God to offer incense to the Lord. And so some of you will be familiar with this verse. Excuse me, and I understand it coming from King David, where he said in Psalm 141, verse 2, let my prayer be set before you as incense. Think about that. Let my prayer be set before you as incense. So in other words, as incense was sweet and incense rose up to God and it pleased God, David said, let my prayers be that which are pleasing to you, and don't stay here on earth, but rise up before you. Hear me, O God, and answer me. Also, when you think of David being a king and not being offered incense, but he could offer spiritual incense, which is prayer. Okay? All right. So, remember what we observed last week in the life of the church with regard to Peter and the praying church. Remember how we said in Acts chapter 12 that Herod killed James with the sword? And then because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he arrested Peter and intended to kill him after the feast. But the Bible says that constant prayer was made to God by the church, and God sent an angel that delivered Peter. And what we said was this: if the church hadn't prayed, would Peter have been delivered? And the answer is no. Why? Because things happen when you pray that don't happen when you don't pray. See, some people say what will be, it doesn't matter, what's going to happen is going to happen. Wrong. God has given us responsibility. He has given us power in his purpose, in his whole plan. The Bible says David served the purpose of God in his generation. God has given us a place to occupy and things to do, right? And one of the greatest gifts we have is prayer. Hello. And so if the church had not prayed for Peter, Peter's fate would have been the same as James. Would have been the same as James. God heard the church's prayer. We talked about that last week. We talked about how when Hezekiah cried out to God, what happened? God heard Hezekiah's prayer. How do we know that? Because God said, I have seen your tears. I have heard your prayers. I'm giving you 15 more years. What if Hezekiah hadn't prayed? He just sat there. Well, what will be, will be. Guess what? I tell you what would have been. Hezekiah would have died. Plain and simple. He would have died. So he heard the church's prayer. He heard Hezekiah's prayer. Why? Why did he hear that prayer? Proverbs 15:8. Write it down. If you don't know it already. It's just a wonderful scripture. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. Wait a second. I read that, and I had to stop. I said, wait a second. Let me just get this in my mind, get this in my spirit. God delights to hear your prayer. Oh, my goodness. Hold on, Pastor. You're telling me. Tell me again. Oh, I'm glad you asked. I'm going to tell you again. See, because we think prayer is this thing that only deep people do. Oh, I wish I could pray like Saint so-and-so. What are you talking about? God delights to hear our prayer. You say, I think I'm going to pray more then. I hope you do. I hope you do. Listen, sometimes, you know, we have videos and all that, but, you know, when I'll be playing with our children and they were real small, man, you talk about loving something, man. I can see it. It's like yesterday, running around the house, we're playing, and anything they ask me, I'm all ears. I'm all ears. What? What do you want to know? It's just all ears. Now, if we being evil know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more? Listen, when your heart utters anything, the Father hears and says, I'm here. Before you ask, he'll say, here I am. He delights to hear our prayers. We can all be praying at one time. It doesn't matter. He hears all of us individually and is able to minister to us individually. I'm trying to set up what's happening in Luke chapter 1 for us. Because not only was Zacharias offering incense, he was praying about something, you remember? He was praying about something. So, the Lord delights in the prayer of the upright. What a precious scripture. Okay, Revelation chapter 5, verse 8 confirms and says this. Now, when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Now, let me make sure we let me read this again. It says, they fell down having a harp and golden bowls, which golden bowls full of incense, which are, it didn't say incense and the prayers of the saints. It said the full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Hello? Now, in the Old Testament, the incense was a sweet aroma that God loved to smell, that he loved coming up to him. You getting the point? Okay. So he loves it when our prayers come up to him. Huh? Now, why is that important? Well, it's important for a number of reasons, but one of which is, he's the creator. And when we pray to him, it acknowledges him as such. Now, that's for his glory, but it's for our good, church. It's for his glory, but it's for our good. If you've yet learned to pray, hang on. I keep saying that, but I want to move past that. Because at some point, we've got to get to the point where we know where prayer is the place where we hang out. Not just a closet on Monday morning, Sunday morning, come on, but all day long. Huh? Young people over here. Young people. Man, if you have not learned yet to say, Lord, is this the one? Listen to his voice and then, okay then, I'm going on about my way. Just walking with God. Walking with God, right? I mean, if I can think about something to drink, and he said, and here it comes. Well, how much more then when you need to make life decisions? Come on. He's there. And listen, don't worry. Whatever you, listen, don't worry. Everybody here can tell you, can we tell them, don't worry. Oh, can we tell the young people, don't worry. Don't worry about relationship. Don't worry about the relationship, right? Because God already got, he's way ahead of you. He's already way ahead of you. And when you come walking up to it, all what he wants you to do is pray. When you come walking up to a relationship, see, God's already there. And what he wants you to do is, like what he told Zachariah, no, that ain't the one. Yes, this is one. It's for you to get in line with what he's saying. Does that make sense? God has you in the palm of his hand. He has everything that you need. And we are all living witnesses. Listen, you say, but I don't feel perfect. I don't feel like I'm all that I am in the relationship. None of us were. Thank you. I said, and I'll give everyone else another chance. I said, none of us were. Y'all still a little slow, but it's. But don't you worry about it. God will make you. Testify, honey. Hey, he making me. He been making me since day one. Testify. Yeah. She know he wasn't all that. He still ain't all that. But hey, God's good. Look here. Prayer and praise were offered together before the Lord in heaven. Huh? Prayer and praise. You say, hold up, prayer and praise, because after this scripture says, then they sang a song. But here we see the prayers of the saints. And where are the prayers? They're in heaven. So people who say, my prayers don't feel like they ever get past the ceiling. I don't know what prayers you're praying, but the Bible says that our prayers are presented before God in heaven. Prayer and praise are like sweet incense that pleases the Lord. I know it's hard for us to think about, my prayers actually please the Lord. I didn't say it. God said it. I just want to receive what God says. Hello. And pray at all times. I remember just this past week, I have a customer. Oh, she's up in her 70s. And she would schedule, and then she would call and cancel. And she would say, Pat, I'm so sorry. I said, don't worry, you know. I'm easy. You know, get my age. Yeah, I'll be like, hey, look, life is life, man. Life had people going through all kinds of things. So she finally scheduled. I get to her house, and at the end, you know, we got to talking. She said, Pat, I've had two strokes since February. And she was up walking around and talking, and I just couldn't contain myself. I said, well, I need to give thanks to God because, sister, look at you. She said, God's been so good to me. I said, you up here walking around and talking? Oh, yes, God's been good to you. I know people who had strokes can't walk. They've lost all. And she says, you know, she said, you know, Pat, he's been taking care of me since I come out the womb. I said, wait a second. I said, hey. She said, he been, and she's English. She's doing all this with the English drawl. He's been good to me. And I was like, oh, yes. You go ahead, mother, tell it. You know what I'm saying? And so I cleaned the carpet, got to the end of it. I said, you mind if I have a word of prayer? And I ain't even that way for answer. I said, Father, I just thank you. I thank you for my sister. I thank you that you became, because her husband got diabetes and they had to cut off something and the other, and I didn't even get to see him. But she says, but you know, God's been faithful. The medical bills were crazy, and then he gave us wisdom and brought it all the way down. And so I was just giving thanks. And so we were praying. She grabbed me at the end and said, oh, just thank you for praying, thank you. And I was like, yeah, well, this is our life. It's how we live. You understand? You don't make it through this life. Prayer, what is it? Life is fragile. Handle with prayer. Handle with prayer. 1 Peter 3:12 says, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. His ears are open to their prayers. It's a New Testament church, quoting Old Testament. His ears are open to their prayers. So we pray all the time. We pray all the time. Revelation 8:3 says, then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense that it should be all offered with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar. And so on this account, the incense is added to the prayers. In the other account, the incense was the prayers. And so he offered this on the altar, which was before the throne. And the scripture says, and the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God. So the prayers we prayed this morning have ascended before God. Amen. Ascended before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. And so that which the angel used to offer the prayers, he filled it with fire from the altar. Now, okay, so the prayer went up from the angel's hand, but guess what? The answer, the answer came back down to earth, because the scripture says the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. That's the answer coming from heaven back down to earth. And so the prayers go up, and then the answer comes down. Now, when you get to Zechariah, he had been praying. He had been offering up incense. And now the angel of the Lord is coming back down. The censer has come down. And now the answer comes to Zechariah, and he played the fool. Hello. Come on. And not only Zechariah, we all been there. Come on. Amen. We've been there. That's how I say this is Christmas every day. This is life. There are people all around the world, they're praying to God, offering incense, incense going up, answer coming down. Hello. This is why I say Christmas is an everyday. This thing is an everyday thing. He threw the censer to the earth, and there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. All of that happened. That started with prayer and ended with a divine answer. So the prayers of the saints are in heaven. Your prayers make it to heaven because God hears your prayers. The prayers of God's people ascend before the Lord and are answered with earth-changing results. There's some things I'm praying about. Yeah. I'm praying. And you're praying. And what we need to understand is that your prayers can outlive you. Prayers are that which go up before God and remain there. Hello? Luke 1:13, but the angel of the Lord said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard." This is at the time he's offering incense. "Your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." So while Zacharias is offering incense, which is representative of prayer, and the people are outside praying, and he's been praying for his wife to have a son, he is told by an angel of God that his prayer has been heard and answered. And what does Zacharias do? "Well, how am I supposed to know this is going to happen?" Man, are you serious? Are you serious? Now we know why Gabriel rebuked Zacharias. Now, part of me wonders if God gave Gabriel a little leeway, said, "If you need to rebuke somebody, go ahead," or if God immediately said to Gabriel, "Rebuke him." But we know why now that Gabriel rebuked Zacharias for not believing him, because God sends the answer to his prayer and he doesn't believe it. What on earth is the point of praying if when God sends the answer, you say, "I don't believe what you just said"? That doesn't make any sense. Are you insane? Are you crazy? You're supposed to be filled with joy and jubilant when God answers the prayer. And so, let me get back. Verse 14, Gabriel continues and says, "And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him, the Messiah, in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, of the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And so... So what we see here in Gabriel telling Zacharias that he's going to have a boy and to call his name John, we see something here that I'm going to point out throughout the scripture and that I've also noticed in my own life, is that, number one, God is the author of life. He's the author of all life. Whether someone was raped, sadly to say, I'm sad to say that. Whether it's incest, it doesn't matter what it is, whether it's just a teen out, have God is the author of life, right? Even though we abuse it, God is still the author of it, right? And that being the case, I have found throughout scripture and in life that God loves announcing the coming of life. He loves announcing. He does it here. Right? He says, hey, Zachariah, you know your wife who's barren and she can't get pregnant and y'all old? You can have a child. And it messes with Zachariah so much he can't even believe it. Now, when you jump back into the Old Testament and when you look at angels, and the first mention of angel in the Old Testament had to do with Hagar when she was running away from Sarah. She's out in the desert, and the angel said, what are you doing, Hagar? She says, I'm running from my mistress. And the angel says, you're pregnant. You're going to have a son. Name him Ishmael. I'm going to make him a great nation. So God said that. God said that through the angel. Hello. Why? Something about, you know, when you see the messengers coming with an announcement of life. Didn't stop there. Remember the Lord in Genesis 18 when Abraham had been praying for Sarah. He had already messed up. He had already messed up with Hagar, right? Got Hagar pregnant. And but they still don't have a child. And the Lord shows up with two angels and he says, I'm going to return to you at the time of life. And Sarah, your wife's going to have a child. And Sarah was in the tent back and she was really? My husband old? Amen. And so God announces to them that you're going to have life. Remember, then it went on to Rebecca when the twins were in her womb. And she went before the Lord and said, if everything's okay, why am I like this? And the Lord said, there are two nations in your womb. He begins to declare to her the life that's about to flow out of her, right? Judges 13, Samson's mother. She was barren, Manoah's wife. She was barren. The angel of the Lord appeared to her in verse 3 and said, indeed, now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. God loves to announce life. Hello. Have you experienced it? I remember years ago, Melody's mother, I've told you this story before. Melody's mother, I had a dream, saw her out to here, and I went to church later that week. I said, yo, Zelda, I had a dream, girl, you out to here. And she looked at me and said, we ain't even told our parents yet. And that was her brother Joshua. What was that? Well, God was announcing new life. And I've heard story after story after story of talking with people of God. Someone said they had a dream or God, God told them that someone was pregnant. And the person never told anybody. We had it happen to us, the prophet said. And, you know, and so God loves this announcement of life. Why? Because it's his life. He's ordained it, right? And so, but Zacharias was not simply told he would have a son. He was given a detailed description of the child's effect upon the community. Many will have joy. He talked about his honor before God, his manner of life. He told him that he's going to be a Nazarite from the womb, like Samson was. He was a Nazarite from the womb, that he was going to have a righteous effect upon the nation. This angel lays out all this, and Zachariah still sitting there saying, how do I know this is going to be true? Wait a second. Zachariah, do you know where you are? The temple that you're standing in was ordained by God. Moses literally took down the dimensions from heaven and created it. And then it was God who said, offer incense to me. And while you're being obedient to God, offering incense, the angel of God shows up and gives you a message about which you've been praying. And then you say, I know you're telling me the truth. I just don't know what got into my man. But this is a lesson for us. I believe we can learn some things from this because we're all praying about things. Hello? We're all praying about things. Verse 18, and Zechariah said to the angel, how shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife is well advanced in years. So I just ran through Sarah, Rebecca. Remember Leah and Rachel, who were both barren. Okay? Remember Hannah, who was barren and cried out to the Lord. Remember the Shunammite woman that Elisha, who was good to Elisha. And Elisha said, you know, what can we do for this woman? And Gehazi said, well, she has no children. And Elisha says, call her. And she came and stood in the door. And this woman who's barren couldn't bear children. Elisha said to her while she was standing in his doorway, said, by this time next year, you're going to embrace a son. I mean, just the word of the Lord. God just created. I said, whoo, my God. What if she would have said, well, how do I know? Come on now. No, she with her heart of faith reached out and embraced that word. She says, no, my Lord, don't lie to your maidservant. That was a way of saying, come on, don't play with me. That's all she was saying. It wasn't unbelief. She was believing this so much. She said, just don't play with me. I want this. I really want this. And she did embrace a son. Yeah, Zechariah had all of that history. All of that history. And he looks at an angel and says, how do I know I can trust you? So, and the angel of the Lord, the angel answered and said to him, verse 19, I am Gabriel. He says, I am Gabriel. Gabriel means man of God. He says, I'm Gabriel who stands in the presence of God. At that point, you'd be sitting there, you know, shaking, what have I done? You know, you would think, you know, Gabriel said, and when he says, I stand in the presence of God, to me, that doesn't mean I do later, but I'm not there now. To me, it means, no, I'm standing in his presence now. Now. And I'm telling you this from his mouth now. Okay. He says, I am Gabriel who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. In their own time. Now, where should I go here? Let me say this. People often question whether or not we have free will. I mentioned fate earlier. Fate is the development of events beyond a person's control, regarded as determined by a supernatural power. Is fate a fact? Are we all destined to a certain outcome? Well, the answer is yes and no. There's no answer. Of course it is. Well, because God predetermined that you and I would be saved. But guess what? He included us in that process. Hello? He determined that Jesus would die for the sins of the world, but also he worked through people who made decisions in order to be involved. Joseph made a decision to take Jesus, the baby, the child, into Egypt, because he was warned in a dream. Now, he could have blew the dream off. He could have been like Zechariah said, well, how am I supposed to believe this? I don't believe this. I'm standing right here. And Jesus would have been killed. Hello? So, you know, it's not either or, it's both and, because either or, it takes away our responsibility. If what will be, then I'm not responsible to do anything. I can do anything I want. What's going to happen is going to happen. If I'm going to be saved, I'm going to be saved. I can sin, doesn't matter what. Oh, no, that's not the way it works. Yeah. Listen, if what will be, then I can believe that Confucius is God and I'm still going to heaven. I don't have to worship Jesus. I don't have to believe that blood was shed for me. I don't have to do any of that if I'm destined to be saved. No, God included us in on the process. So it's not either or. We certainly have free will, but the actions that we take determine the course of our lives. Make no mistake about that. And so this was being brought to bear upon Zacharias, because Zacharias, what you have done and not believing the words that I've spoken to you has now brought judgment on you, a temporary light affliction of being mute. In other words, I'm not going to allow you to spew your unbelief all around, so I'm going to shut your mouth. There's one thing that God didn't leave up to man, because if he did, it would never happen. That's salvation. That's salvation. If God didn't save us, we could never be saved. Because when God came down to the first human, he hiding in the garden, running from God. Come on. Trying to make himself look good, trying to clothe himself and all this. And will this work? Will this work, God? No, that won't do. No, God had to kill a lamb, because your fig leaves won't work. And from that day to this, if God will allow it, man be still coming up. But with now it's technology, and we got pretty close, Lord. Look at what we can do. And God would still be saying, no, that's not going to work. Hello? And so I'm going to just, let's see. Give me a few more minutes. You with me? All right. Let me deal with this line. He says, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. Man, that's a sermon all by itself. But notice that God's words were different from Zechariah's words. This is why Zechariah was rendered mute. God told him all that he was going to do with his son. You remember me telling you in a sermon maybe a year or 2 years ago, Zacharias and Elizabeth wanted a son, but God wanted Christ's forerunner, who would come in the spirit and power of Elijah, who would go before, who would fulfill Malachi chapter 4. That's what God was after. And so those were God's words, and Zechariah's words didn't agree with God's words, so God shut him up. He shut him up. His words, Zechariah's words, were against the very salvation that he and the world needed. He was therefore silenced, while the words of God were put on display by an elderly Elizabeth growing month by month by month. You see, it was God's words who prevailed, who said, you're going to have a son. And he shut Zechariah, shut his mouth, and Elizabeth conceived, and the word of God prevailed in their lives to the glory of God and for the salvation of the Jewish people and eventually the whole world. So, you know, God says about his work that it shall, that the word that goes forth out of his mouth shall prosper in the thing that he pleases, that it's gonna accomplish that what he pleases and prosper in the thing whereto he sends it. And that is what happened in their life, even though Zechariah temporarily wasn't in agreement, was full of unbelief. And so whenever we hear the words of God, we need to align ourselves with them. Amen. His words are eternal. If we receive them, we will be eternal too. Amen. So when God comes and speaks, Lord, help us to say, yes, Lord, like Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, be it unto me according to your word. She agreed with the vision that was given to her, even though it had never happened in the world and hasn't happened since concerning her and the reproach that would have bring. She was willing to go through all of that. Right. So verse 21, the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. So when I come to this, I'm saying to myself, okay, so they're saying, so one commentary said, well, you know, he was in there for half an hour. That's the time that it would take to offer the incense, plus his interchange with the angel. But my thought is, I see Zechariah in there going, how am I going to tell these people? I can't talk. Now I'm thinking when he come outside, the people, because the scripture says, but when he came out, he could not speak to them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision of the temple. And so people probably thinking, oh, Zechariah deep. Zechariah so deep. My goodness, we know Moses was shining when he talked to God, but Zechariah's so deep, when he come out, he can't say nothing. You know, and everybody probably look at Zechariah walking around. Only Zechariah knows inside he going, oh, you know. He know the real reason why he can't talk. Because of the hand of God that was upon him. So he goes on in verse 23 as I close. And we all said amen. Amen. So it was, verse 23. And so it was, as soon as the days of his service were completed, that he departed to his own house. Now after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, see, she can still say something, saying, thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among the people. And her husband was sitting there and saying, I don't know how you're going to do this, you know. But Elizabeth was receiving everything that God had said. And I'm sure she embraced it whenever Zechariah penned it out for her. Said, this is what God said. This is what God said could happen. You know, Elizabeth said, woo, oh, yeah. Ha, ha. You learn the next time, you thing, you. And so Zechariah wasn't allowed to speak his unbelief. But Elizabeth, who believed God, rejoiced in his goodness toward her. So what was going on in that day is what is going on in our day. God is announcing and bringing about new birth. Let me give you a few things out of my own life that I remember. Because when the announcement comes, it comes, I've had it happen to me where I'm in a situation and I'm like Zacharias. I'm doing my thing. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. And all of a sudden, it becomes very clear to me that God is doing something. When my sisters had moved out, it was just my mother and I living in Vienna, we would oftentimes, we'd just sit around and talk about God. You know, we talk about God and sing and whatever. And we just sit there and have time. And it was a special time God gave me between me and my mother to bond as a 25, 26, 27, 28-year-old. And I remember one time I had a good friend named Tony. Tony was living in South Carolina. I hadn't seen Tony in years. Tony came and it was a summer day. The door was open, you know, and all of a sudden somebody pulled up in the driveway and Tony steps out of the car. Got a girl with him. And I said, Tony, man, what's up, man? We embraced, you know, we hugged and everything. Come up in the house. We sitting down talking. And while we sitting down and talking, Tony said, you know, we got in the car to go to the store. And something said, we'd be driving north to go to the store. He said, something said, keep driving. This is his testimony. I haven't seen him since. This was 1990, I can't remember, 1980s. And he said, something said, keep driving. This guy's unsaved. He come up by North Carolina, South Carolina. They headed toward the South Carolina, North Carolina border. They get to the border. He said, we was like, where are we going? Something said, keep driving. They drive through North Carolina to get to Virginia. Said, what on earth? Keep driving. Pull up in our driveway. Tony told me that story while we were sitting in the house. After I had prayed with both of them to lead them both to Jesus. They both received Christ as their Lord and Savior that day. And he said, I was wondering why. Something told us to keep driving. Me and my mother, we led them both to Jesus. They got back in the car, drove on back to South Carolina. And it was one of those moments where God was on the scene and said, new birth. Somebody's getting ready to be born today. You see, what happened in this story is that God shows up and says, listen, I'm about to bring new life into the earth. Someone's going to be born. And Zechariah, Patrick, I'm fixing to use you. Now, we don't need to be like Zechariah and say, well, I'm not really sure about this. Not really sure about this. Oh, no, no. Once we see what God's about to do, same thing when I was cleaning that lady's car, walked into the house and saw that the house wasn't ready and got to talking to him about Jesus. And the Lord made it very clear. When I saw that I couldn't clean the carpet, I immediately said, Lord, why am I here? Why am I here? And I said to them, can I talk to you about Jesus? And the Holy Ghost fell. And I prayed with him. And one girl was shaking. She was crying on the left. I said, would y'all like to receive Jesus Christ? I said, yes, please. We want to know Jesus. Pray both. Let them both to Jesus. Hallelujah. That was my noon appointment. I didn't have enough. I don't think I had another one. Anyhow, I left the house, went on back to my shop, doing what I'm supposed to do. Just like Zachariah, doing his job, in there offering up incense. He's just doing it. But the Holy Ghost, when the angel shows up, God makes it clear to you that, no, this is me. I got you in this situation, and you're part of my plan, and I'm about to work. Now, you just agree with it. Say, okay, Lord. Okay. Next job. I'm done. I'm good. Hello. This brother right here. When I'm working at Dark Drug, I got saved in 83. Go to work, and I meet this brother. And this brother ends up, we end up having a relationship, a work relationship, employee. I said, Tim, hey, you want to come to church? Tim come to church. Next thing I know, he up front praying to receive Jesus as his Lord and Savior. Got filled with the Holy Ghost. And God, every time I look at him, all I hear God say, I'm faithful. That's the same thing with Loretta. Every time I see Loretta, all I hear in my spirit is, I'm faithful. Because if you knew what Loretta been through, my God. God, hey, whoo, some of you know all of it, but that woman, God has been faithful to her. A few years ago, I got a call, and I called Carl, said, brother, pray for me. I just got a call. Somebody called me and says, there's a man at this place. He got a gun. He about to kill himself. Can you help us? I said, all right. I called Carl. I said, Carl, this is where I'm going. Pray for me, bro. He said, you need help? I said, no, I'm good. Just pray for me. And I rolled on out there, met with this man, sat in the car. Pray and talked about life. Did I tell you, have I said to you lately that life going to bring you to the end of yourself? Life will bring you to a point where you need more than what you have. And this young man told me, this is life, this hard. I can't, there ain't no reason for me to be here. And I broke up my Bible, was preaching gospel to him, told him, no, life is worth living. That's why God gave it to you. Now we need to pray. It was 15 degrees outside. We got out the car, got down on the concrete. Jesus! I said, pray after me, young man. Jesus, help me. This man out there, we praying. He ain't got on no coat. We out there 15 degrees. And he prayed, received Jesus, crying, snot flowing, running and everything. And but that young man got saved that night. Why? Because God says, this night I'm bringing forth life. He announced it and brought it forth. Same thing with a customer. I got stories after stories. I went into a lady's house. She's gone now. But years ago, it was a customer. And she had on a ball cap with no hair. And you know what that means. And I went on down into her basement, cleaning her carpet. And at one point, I felt something grab me like a vice. And this woman had laid hold of me while I was cleaning the carpet. And I stopped the machine. I turned around and looked at her. She said, Pat, it's so hard. She had tears streaming up. Pat, it's so hard. So hard. And at that moment, I knew. I said, okay. Because when the Holy Ghost take over, I'm good with it. I said, okay, put the machine down, And I stopped. I said, you got a Bible? She got a Bible. We sat down. Laid hands, prayed for this woman, led her to Jesus in her basement, and I hadn't seen from him. And this was years ago. I went back. Her husband called me and said, "I need the carpet cleaned." I went out there. I said, "Well, he's kind of, I'm like, how's your wife?" He said, "She passed." I said, "All right," but before she passed, tell you what, went into a gym one day. And the boy said to me, if you give me your arms, I'll give you my calves. And when I looked up at him, literally, because I was looking down because I was defeated. And when I looked up, it was like a sheet of the anointing. It was like the sheet of glory fell on me. And when I looked up at him, man, I preached the gospel to this boy. Yeah. And I said, yeah, you need to come to church with me. And because I was planning for him to come to church and go and get saved. He called me 2 days later. He said, I can't wait to come to church. He was crying. I mean, his boy is crying out of his, you can hear old folks, snot running, everything. I mean, he is in it. I'm like, he said, I can't wait for church. He said, I need God. I said, well, then let's pray. letting the Jesus right there on the phone. And he came to church, got filled with the Holy Ghost, because God is announcing new life. Now, listen, what I'm sharing with you, God was doing it then, and he's doing it now. And he wants to use us. He wants to use us. See? So when you get out there and you get in a circumstance or a situation and you see plainly, okay, no, this is God, then Father, I agree with you now in the name of Jesus for what it is you want to accomplish here, being it sow, seed, reap. Listen, for the stories that I share where I sit down and pray with someone to receive Jesus Christ, there are many, many more stories of where you're just watering. Come on. Sowing seed and watering seed, right? Paul said, Apollos, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gives the increase. When God decides to give the increase, boom, but it's all his work. And we don't class it. Well, yeah, we do. We put one over the other, but not God. He doesn't, right? So my point is simply this. What we learn from the story of Zechariah is, let's agree with what God says. Amen? Let's stand to our feet. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for your truth. And we thank you, oh God, for the work of the Holy Spirit in us. We thank you that you don't leave us alone, oh God. And when we fall down, Lord, you pick us up. You tell us, get up and walk with me and run with me. For the race is not finished. The journey is still going on. So walk with me and I will live in you. And Father, we pray, oh God, that what you're doing, Lord, we would be a big part of, to let your spirit flow through us and life flow through us, that Christ would be glorified. And we ask you this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Amen and amen. God bless you.